What is it like to perform as an artist in Lebanon?
I studied in Beirut theater, and in Lebanon there is no structure to support artists from the government or even from private institutions. So I've learned very, very early from my career how to produce my own works from my own pocket. So all of us, my generation, when I started working in theater, we were all amateur anyway, because we were not really living from theater or from our artworks. This actually gave me this structure and this ability how to work with very minimal and very low budgets. And it's still till today, even if I have big budget productions from theater, when they propose to me, I even don't know how to use it, because I have this mentality now that I have to be so economized with everything. And at some point, it gives me all the time this freedom of my own expression, so I'm not dependent on an institution or on a funding or whatever. I still can do my own theater pieces without any support. Although I'm so happy now that I live from my theater, I'm supported from a lot of friends and theater directors and institutions like Kammerspiele in Munich.
How do you experience Lebanon and how do you imagine it?
Lebanon, mainly Beirut. I talk about Beirut because I live in Beirut, I raised in Beirut, I work in Beirut. It's so energetic city. There's a lot of things happening. Young generation, very active. Culturally, it's very rich. But at the same time, there's a lot of tension, conflicts, it's everywhere. Sometimes people are, you can see that they are pessimists. There's no hope. You can feel this sometimes. You can also feel that they are tired and sometimes very aggressive to each other. There's a lot of fundamental political and social and economic problems that Lebanon is facing because of the system itself, and which is not easy to find solution in the near future. So, and this is all the Lebanese are suffering from this. And there is, till now, there is no horizon for any solution in the near future or any hope.
Lebanon takes the most refugees in the world. What was the situation like for you?
You can feel the presence everywhere because, there is, I don't know the exact number, but it's more than 1 million, even 2 million that they are in Lebanon. And the population in Lebanon is a little bit more than 4 million, which is too much for a country to handle it. But at the same time, you can see that there is something that is going okay, the situation. The Syrians are more than welcome in Lebanon. And I think there is also the Lebanese, they are benefit from their presence economically.
Was it intended to refer to Beethoven's Ode to Joy? And why in the rather sincere context of your performance?
It's a reference to Beethoven, Schiller 1, for many reasons, but also it's related to the Olympic Games itself, because this ode, it was used in the Olympic Games in many occasions. And one of the things that is very nice is that it was used to unite the German team, which was Eastern and Western Germany, but they have to be presented in one team in a period of time, and they were not agreed on which national hymn should they use. So the Olympic Committee, they decided that maybe Ode to Joy is the best, and everybody agreed. And maybe because also the subject that we are dealing with is a little bit maybe sad, and it's not joy at all to talk about the 1972 attack and about the Palestinians, what happened to them now after all this history, etc. So in a way it's a sad story in a way, and we thought that a title like Ode to Joy, maybe it's good for us just to cheer us up a little bit. It's just a way to find some hope in life.
So in your performance, you show videos, photographs, texts and explosions, sounds. Everything is linked to the assault during the Olympic Games in 1972. Why is this the main topic of your performance?
I co-write it with Manal Khadr. She's Palestinian, lives in Beirut, a friend. I worked with her in different fields. And I invited her to write with me this text. So Otto Joy, actually, basically, it's about the Palestinian revolution and its relation to the media. And when I started to work on this topic with Manal, we discovered that Munich attack in 1972 was a turning point to the Palestinians. So a little bit before 1972, like in 1969, the Palestinians started to do like terrorist attacks outside in Europe, like all in the world. But it was still at that time a debate whether they can call these operations a terrorist attack or not terrorism. It was not yet sure. Until 1972, when this attack happened by the Palestinians, the image of the terrorist became linked to the Palestinians after this. So in this sense, it was like a turning point, and we thought that it's very important to talk about Munich 1972 Olympic Games in this sense. So our topic is not actually to go back to what really happened in 1972 in Munich, because there's a lot of films, a lot of documentaries, a lot of articles, and I'm sure like anyone who wants to know, it's easy to find the information. So our concern is actually an auto-reflection, an auto-criticism from the side that we are coming from to our relation to the Palestinian movement, revolution, liberation, whatever you want. And this is what we're trying to do in performance.
What did you like to show in Riding on a Cloud that deals about and with your brother?
Actually, he had a bullet during the Civil War, a sniper bullet in his head, but he survived. The performance is taking this accident to talk about his relation to language, because he became aphasic and he lost the ability to talk and to write. And then he had to learn everything anew from zero and then became a poet, which like very, very beautiful. I find like it's like a kind of a resistance. So the story talks about this relation between him and language.